This is the BBC.
Oh, come, dear listeners. You know, it's not that bad.
Of course not! Come, Mr. Greenslade, tell them the good news.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the extraordinary talking-type wireless Goon Show.
Is the popularity waning? Fear not, Neddy lad. We'll jolly them up with a merry laughing type joke show. Stand prepared for the story of Napoleon's piano.
Napoleon's piano. The story starts in the bad old days. It was early one morning, and breakfast had just been served at Bewley Manor. And I was standing at the window, looking in. With the aid of a telescope, I was reading the paper on the breakfast table when suddenly an advertisement caught my eye. It said,
"Will pay anybody £5 to remove piano from one room to another. Apply the bladder's harpier pipe quants."
In little or no time, I was at the address, and with the aid of a piece of iron and a lump of wood, I made this sound.
So pristine knuckles. When I heard that sound, I ran downstairs, and with the aid of a doorknob and two hinges, I made this sound.
Ah, good morning. My name is Neddy Seagull.
What a memory you have.
Needle noddle no. I've come to move the piano.
Come in.
Thanks.
You must excuse my filthy hands, but I've just been washing my face.
Hurry up, Jim.
Yes?
Can I borrow your shoe? I want to read the paper.
I'm sorry, Tom.
We appear to have company.
This gentleman has come in answer to your advertisement.
Oh, how lovely. Come in, sit down.
Thank you.
Have a gorilla.
No, thanks. I'm trying to give them up.
Splendid for you. Now, Neddy, here's the money for moving the piano. There you are, £5 in fibres.
£5 for moving a piano? This is money for old rope.
Is it? I thought you'd have bought something more useful.
No. I have simple tastes. Now, where is this piano?
All in good time, laddie. Now, first, will you sign this contract in which you guarantee to move the piano from one room to another for £5?
Of course I'll sign. Have you any ink?
Here's a fresh bottle.
Gad, I was thirsty.
Sapristi indelible. Do you always drink ink?
Only in the meeting, Stevens.
Shall we dance?
You dance divinely.
Next dance, please. Now, Neddy, please just sign the contract.
Certainly. Neddy Seagull. A-G-G.
What's A-G-G for?
For the kiddies to ride on.
Are you sure you won't have a gorilla?
No, thanks. I've just put one out.
I see.
Now, which room is this piano in?
It's in the Louvre.
Strange taste you have.
We refer to the Louvre Museum.
What? You mean the piano's in Paris?
Yes.
Ah, I've been tricked.
For the benefit of people without television, he's fainted.
Don't waste time. Open his jacket and take the weight of his wallet off his chest.
Aha!
He's still out cold. See if this brings him round.
Hey, comrades, ever since we were boys,
Where am I?
England.
What number?
7A. Have a gorilla.
No, they hurt my throat.
Oh, naughty gorillas.
Wait! Now I remember. You've trapped me into bringing back a piano from France for only £5.
You signed the contract, Neddy. Now get that piano or we sue you for breach of contract. Gad, Moriarty. If he brings that piano back, we shall be well in the money. That piano must be worth at least £10,000.
How do you know?
I've seen its bank book. That is the very piano Napoleon played at Waterloo.
No wonder we lost.
Yes. With all that moolah, we can have a wonderful slap-up holiday.
Oh, April in Paris.
I say, poor Neddy must have been at his wit's end. Faced with the dilemma of having to bring Napoleon's piano back from Paris, he went to the Foreign Office for advice on passports and visas.
Oh, that must be the Prime Minister at the door.
Yes, that must be the Prime Minister.
Coming.
Yes. Tell him we're very sorry.
Sorry for what, Henry?
Make something up. Anything will do.
We're very sorry. You're not the Prime Minister.
Not yet, but it's just a matter of time. My name is Neddy Seagull.
Do you want to buy a white paper?
No, thanks. I'm trying to give them up.
Oh. So are we.
I want a few particulars. You see, I want to leave the country.
He's going to Russia.
Stop him! Stop him! Stop him! I say it! Are you threatening me?
Now get out!
I will, but not before I hear musical saboteur Max Galbraith!
Seagoon was confused. He's not the only one. It seems that with no more than a fiver, the cheapest way to Paris was to stow away on board a channel steamer.
Down in the dark hold I lay, alone, so I thought.
I talked to the tree. That's why they put me away. I'm
The singer was a tall, ragged idiot.
Ragged idiot.
He carried a plasticine gramophone and wore a metal trilby.
Metal trilby. Oh. Hello, shipmate of mine. Where are you going on?
Nowhere. I think it's safer to stay on the ship until we reach Calais.
Yeah. Hey, you going to Calais?
Yes.
What a coincidence. That's where the ship's going. Ain't you lucky? Everything's going to be fine, fine, fine.
Here. Have a gorilla.
Oh, thanks. Hey, these gorillas are strong. Here, have one of my monkeys. They're milder.
And so for the rest of the voyage, we sat quietly smoking our monkeys. At Calais, I left the idiot singer. By slanting down the ship's rope, in French, I avoided detection and made for the Louvre. Late that night, I checked into a French hotel. Next morning, I sat in my room eating my breakfast, when suddenly, through the window, a fork on the end of a long pole appeared. It tried to spear my kipper. Who the blazes are you, sir?
I'm sorry. I was fishing.
Fishing? Fishing? This is the 34th floor.
Oh, the river must have dropped. I've got it on a bit of paper here. Let's have a look. Oh, yes. Major Dennis Bloodnock, late of the 3rd Disgusting Fusiliers. OBE, MT, MT, and MT.
What are all those MTs for?
I get tuppence on each of them. Oh! I'm in condition tonight. Oh!
You're acting suspiciously suspicious. I've a good mind to call the manager.
Call him! I am unafraid.
No. Why should I call him?
Then I will. Manager!
Green is he?
Throw this man out! Now for breakfast. See? Kippers, toast. Oh, yes. Wait, what's this coming through the window? Flatten me cracker and nosh me slappers. It's a fork on a pole. And it's trying to take me kipper off me plate. Oh... I say, who is that?
I'm sorry, I was just fishing.
What? I've a good mind to call the manager.
Go on, then call him.
No. No, why should I?
Then I'll call him. Watch me turn the tables, listeners. Manager?
Oui, monsieur?
Throw this man out of my room.
Alone in Paris. I went down to the notorious Café Tom, proprietor Maurice Ponk. Inside, the air was filled with gorilla smoke. I was looking for a man who might specialize in piano robberies from the Louvre.
Good evening. You are looking for a man who might specialize in piano robberies from the Louvre?
How do you know?
I was listening on the radio and I heard you say it.
Good, sit down.
No, thank you, I'm naked.
Garcon?
Oui.
2 glasses of English port type cooking sherry. Have a gorilla.
No, thanks. I only smoke baboons.
Good show.
Yes, baboon show.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now back to the plot.
Yes, this piano we must steal. It's the one Napoleon played at Waterloo.
Steal? That will be a very sticky job.
Why?
It's just been varnished. Oh, the German joke, yeah?
The English silence.
No, Mr. Sneezegroin. Meet me outside the Louvre at midnight on the stroke of 2.
What time?
When the clock strikes 20 past 12. Bob and Elf, wiedersehen.
Wiederlein. True to my word, I was there dead on 3.
You're late.
I'm sorry, my legs were slow.
You will have to buy another pair. Now, Neddy, this is the map plan of the Louvre and the surrounding streets.
Right. Now, you take one end of this map. That's right. Unfold it. That's the way. Huh? Mm-hmm. That's right. go. Yes. Keep going. Yes. Well, it's big, isn't it?
Yes, it is. This bit here shows the Rue de la Paix.
Good heavens, you're miles away. Walk straight up that street, take the second on the left, and I'll be waiting for you.
I took a taxi. It was too far. Now we disperse and meet again in the Hall of Mirrors when the clock strikes twinge. At midnight, we strike. Is that you, Sigun?
No, it was the clock.
Everybody out, closing time.
Quick! Quick! Hide behind this pane of glass.
But you can see through it.
Not if you close your eyes.
It's eine Geblungen, you are right. Are all your family clever?
Only the crustaceans.
Everybody out, and that goes for you idiots with your eyes shut behind the sheet of glass.
You fool, you can't see us?
Yes, I can. Get out or I call the police.
You anti-Bismarck swine. I should.
No, no, not through the glass. You'll break it. First, I'll make a hole in it.
Good.
There. Now, shoot through that.
Oh, you killed me. On foutre à la porte. You get me this sack. Oh, I die. I fall to the ground. Oh, I die.
Never mind water. Swallow this tin of Lifol. Guaranteed to turn you to life. Forward, Ray Ellington.
Now just because you're pretty and you think you're mighty wise, you tell me that you love me, then you roll those big blue eyes. When I saw you out last week, your eyes were turning black. Why don't you find the guy that beat you up and ask him to take you back? Don't roll those bloodshot eyes at me. I can tell you've been out on a spree. It's plain that you were lying when you say that you've been crying. Don't roll those bloodshot eyes at me. Yes, I used to spend my money to make you look real sweet. I wanted to be proud of you when we walked down the street. Now don't you ask me to dress you up in satins and in silk. Your eyes look like two cherries in a glass of buttermilk. Whoa. Don't roll those bloodshot eyes at me. I can tell you've been out on a spree. Yes, it's plain that you were lying when you say that you've been crying. So don't roll those bloodshot eyes at me. Simmer down. You should join a circus. You'd make a real good clown. Your eyes look just like a road map, and I'm scared to hold you close. You better shout your peepers before I close them both. Oh, don't roll your bloodshot eyes at me. Ooh, I can tell you've been out on a spree. It's plain that you were lying when you say that you've been crying. So don't roll your bloodshot eyes at me. Drink to me only with your eyes. And don't roll your bloodshot eyes at me.
in which our heroes, their purpose almost accomplished, are discovered creeping up to the piano.
Shh, Eddie. There is someone under Napoleon's piano trying to lift it by himself.
He must be mad. I was right. Eccles, what are you doing out after feeding time?
I signed a contract that fooled me, mark you, into taking this piano back to England.
What? You must be an idiot to sign a contract like that. Now help me get this piano back to England. Together, lift. Hey, what's the old tennis frame? It's too heavy. Put it down.
Here. It's lighter when you let go, isn't it?
I have an idea. We'll saw the legs off.
Good.
Eccles, give me that special piano leg saw that you just happened to be carrying. Thank you. Now. There. I've sawn off all four legs.
Strange. The first time I've known of a piano with four legs.
Hey, I keep falling down.
I'm terribly sorry, Eccles. Eccles, here. Swallow this tin of Lego, the Wonder Leg Grower. Recommended by all good centipedes.
They managed, by sweating and struggling, to get Napoleon's piano into the cobbled court.
Which is more than Napoleon ever did. Out!
Hand over the piano in the name of France.
Bloodlock, take off the kilt. We know you're not French.
One step nearer and I'll strike with this fork on the end of a pole.
You do and I'll attack with this kipper.
You must let me have that piano. You see, I foolishly signed a contract that forces
yes,
me to...
Yes, yes, we know. We're all in the same boat. We have no money. So the only way to get the piano back to England is to float it back. All together, into the English Channel. Ho! All aboard HMS Piano! Cast off! The log of Napoleon's piano. December the 3rd. Second week in English Channel. Very seasick. No food, no water. Blood knocked down with the lurgy. Eccles up with the lark.
Sigurd, take over the keyboard. I can't steer it anymore.
Eccles, take over the keyboard.
I can't. I haven't wrote my music.
You'll just have to bust for the next 3 miles.
Wait, ooh. Great galloping crabs. Look in the sky. It's a recording of a helicopter. Save!
By St. George, saved! Yes! For those of you who haven't got television, they're lowering a man on a rope.
Yes, it is I, Siri. From HMS Boxer. Signals applause. See, I have drunk my fill of the clapping.
Little stinking admiral.
Yes.
You have arrived in the nick of time.
Silencio. I must do my duty. Hurriedly runs up cardboard Union Jack. 3 cheers for the Empire. Hip hip. Hooray. Hip hip.
Have you come to save us?
Hooray! Rock Hall is now British. Cements in brass plate. Steps back to salute. Now, I'm in the dreaded drowning type water.
Here, grab this fork on the end of a pole.
It's got a kipper on.
Yes. You must keep your strength up.
But I'm drowning.
There's no need to go hungry as well. Take my hand.
Why? Are you a stranger in paradise?
For those without television, I've pulled him back on the piano.
Piano? This is not a piano. This is Rocco.
This is Napoleon's piano.
No, it is not.
It is.
No, it isn't.
It's Napoleon's piano.
No, this is Rocco. We have took it because it is in the area of the rocket testing range.
Rocket testing range? I've never heard such rubbish.
What do you think, dear listeners? Were they standing on Rock Hall, or was it Napoleon's piano? Send your suggestions to anybody but us. For those who would prefer a happy ending, here it is.
Gwendolyn! Gwendolyn!
John, darling.
Gwendolyn, I've found work, darling. I've got a job.
Oh, John, I'm so glad for you. What is it, darling?
Darling, all I've got to do is to move a piano from one room to another.
That was The Goon Show, a BBC recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Seacombe and Spike Milligan, with the Railington Quartet and Max Geldray. The orchestra was conducted by Wally Stott, script by Spike Milligan, announcer Wallace Greenslade, the program produced by Peter Eaton.